You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, this is the time of year where you can really lay a good foundation. And, you know, you got new players that you've added to the mix. They get to know each other. And it's been a great group to work with, no doubt about it.
That was Coach Bill O'Brien describing OTAs, which are underway. And I was out there Tuesday with many of the local media. We got our first chance to see the new Texans team. Can't say much about the details. Some limitations there, but I'll tell you what I can. You also hear from two people making a comeback, Whitney Merciless. And the best news from OTAs was the sighting of State of the Texans' Pat Starr, who's working on his own miraculous return. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast. My co-host, Brian Patterson, taking the day off. So just me today. Welcome to Locked On Texans. This is your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network. So let's get started with a couple of Texans who, unfortunately, we didn't see out there. At least we didn't see running with the practice guys. And that was Jadeveon Clowney, who didn't practice because of a knee. J.J. Watt was walking around, looked good doing it, but still not ready to practice. Deontay Foreman still recovering from that Achilles. And, of course, Deshaun Watson, he was doing individual drills, but no team drills. We saw some 11-on-11, but it was Brandon Weeden and Joe Webb running quarterback for that. Keke Coutee definitely showed that quickness and sudden burst that can get everybody excited. I didn't see him drop any passes. He looked good in uniform. That's all I'll say. He's quick, and he was making catches. That's the important thing. Tight end Jordan Akins went up and came down with a nice catch in traffic 20 yards downfield. You could see a little of his athleticism. That's good. Undrafted free agent wide receiver Vincent Smith. Excellent wheels. Also showed he could catch. We got to keep an eye on him as the OTAs unfold. Can't really tell you who's running first and second team on the O-line. And in some ways, it's tough to know really because no Deshaun out there. So what is first and second team? We're constricted a little bit on giving away some details from OTAs, but let's just say there was nothing too shocking. Now let's hear from Whitney Merciless and see how he's coming back from the torn pec. We started off by asking him how it felt to get back out there after, geez, it's been about 6 months now. How was it, Whitney?
Felt good. It feels like I never left. You know, just getting brushed up on a few things that we adjusted from last year. But other than that, physically healthy, I feel like I'm better than what I was last year.
Why do you say that?
With the strength trainers that we have, the new staff that we have going on, especially with the nutrition and things like that, just being fine-tuning, fine-tuning just things that we probably overlooked or whatnot. And so it's definitely helped me.
And you've got some of your teammates out there as well, Deshaun and Christian, some of the other guys that have made it out there. What was it like seeing Deshaun out there throwing passes and the other guys that were injured coming back and worked their way back like you did?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. It's encouraging. I mean, especially with how hard he works. He's a freak of nature, of course. Everybody knows that. And, you know, that injury was not going to slow him down, not one bit. And so it's great to see him back out there, even though it's limited. It's just 7-on-7, not moving a whole lot. We know he's going to be back. Kristen being back 100%, just like me. And so, you know, we just got to get JJ, and then we're rocking and rolling. And Nick.
How about the defense? Romeo Crennel takes over again. Does it feel like riding a bike, him being back in charge of the defense, or is it different this time around?
No, it's not really that different. I mean, it's just, pretty much the same defense that we've always been running. We still got same packages with just a few minor adjustments that we do every single year, just based off of what we see game planning-wise and all that. So it's not like it's been changed in the last, like, year or so.
You're so limited in what you can do without pads, but do you have any goals that you've set for yourself through OTAs?
Yeah, improve my pass rushing in a heck of a whole lot, especially I know I'm a little deficient on one side versus the other. Also, just playing in space, especially when it comes to the pass game and all that. And that's about it.
You got a couple guys that your two linebackers. What did you remember about the difference being you coming from year one to year two that maybe you think you're going to see from Dylan Cole and Zach Cunningham?
Just the recognition of the game, just being able to see it, especially them getting the experience, you know, seeing different types of formations, things of that nature, and just being able to play a lot faster, especially when they see, they see a certain formation. Okay, I know they're only going to play like one or two plays out of this formation, and then they're right at the ball. So that's exactly what I'm expecting out of them. And I definitely see it on the field as of right now.
Whitney, what do you think about JJ stepping up to help out in Santa Fe and pay for the funeral?
I think it's dope. I mean, Look, he's a very philanthropic guy, for sure. And, man, you can't expect anything less from J.J. at all. We've got a lot of guys on the team that do the same thing, that would do the same thing. And it's great that he would help out those families as well, too. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that need help, and he's definitely perfect for that.
That was Texans outside linebacker and playmaker extraordinaire Whitney Mercilus. You could tell by his demeanor that despite the Houston heat and humidity, he was pumped to be back out there. In just a bit, you'll hear my conversation with the man behind the State of the Texans website, Patrick Starr. We've had him on the show a few times, but this one is especially meaningful because he was literally thrown a couple hundred feet in the air after being hit by an 18-wheeler back in February. It's been a bunch of surgeries, a harrowing last few months, but seeing Pat Starr in his wheelchair and in a great mood was a huge surprise for us at OTAs. In just a sec, you'll hear my conversation with Pat. And more than anything, was just thrilled to talk a little football with him and get his thoughts on the offseason. Let me remind you, though, that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor. Tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, TuneIn, Spotify. Tons of ways for you to listen to us as we try to get you through that summer and get you to game one of the Texans. If you'd like to check out more Locked On content in our network, go to LockedOnSports.com. You'll see all the podcasts for all the NBA teams, the NFL teams, Major League Baseball. You can follow it all right there, LockedOnSports.com. It's our new Locked On Network website.
Well, the best news that we've had out at Texans OTAs is the arrival of Pat Starr from State of the Texans. And it was good to see you, brother, all in one piece. Good to talk to you. What's it like to be out here driving around in the wheelchair now and getting to get out in the sun a little bit and see some football?
I got to thank my fiance for pushing me to say, get out there and it'll be okay. And like you said, it's a long road and we're in a wheelchair, but, you know, it's good to see everyone. And it was nice to have some players and especially the media come up to me and say hello and do all that great stuff. But it was good to see just the sun again and football and all that other stuff. But yeah, it's a lot of fun to be back.
Well, what about you seeing JJ out there? Because you guys are dealing with the similar injuries. Describe his injury, how it's similar to you, and what's it like just to see him? He's a few months ahead of schedule from you, though.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because all my injuries that I suffered in the situation are very comparable to JJ's over the years. Back problem, but mine's kind of sorted out all right now. Dislocated elbow, and like you were mentioning, the tibial plateau fracture on the same leg. And it's interesting. You actually have to stay off the leg for 3 months and then teach yourself to regain strength and ultimately learn how to walk again and trust your body. I think he probably has a little more high-tech things going on in NRG Stadium, but like you said, we saw him today running and doing a few things, but that doesn't really equate to cutting and all that other stuff. I don't feel like there could be any justification on how well JJ will be for the season until you see him week one and as the season progresses. I think that's the big thing, that perspective on injuries itself with these players.
When you were going through everything you went through, give me some of the Texans that you were hearing from as you were trying to recover, and what did it mean to hear from some of those guys?
You know, I had a few players reach out. I really appreciate Tom Savage and, how much he meant to us. Just keeping up, just hearing from, a certain number of players that are still here and just hearing from them. And like I said, all the messages and all the well wishes, I can't thank listeners and readers and, like the media here. They helped out too with just getting awareness out there of what was going on. But I'm so indebted to so many people, and it was kind of amazing to come out here and see how many people that were actually happy to see me back out here, even though it is in a wheelchair. But like I told you, Robert, it's just good to be back and at least out here looking at some things working out here on the field.
Let's talk about the Texans offseason, and it's Brian Gaines' first offseason. Do you see much of a difference between the way he handled his personnel and some of the moves that they've done throughout the offseason and the draft and in free agency compared to what Rick Smith did over the years?
With that group, I think it was very comparable to what they did with the Brock Osweiler, Jeff Allen class in terms of free agency. It's a need. Go get it. I think they did it here with with Senio and Centrell Henderson. I think they did it. We need an offensive guard. We need an offensive tackle, and also the Fulton from Kansas City. We need offensive linemen, and at least all three of those guys have some type of experience in the NFL, which helps them. And then you look. I think that the signing of Tyrann Mathieu is all about how do you say it? Low risk, high reward. I think that's the big thing with that, is that they're going for a guy that has shown his ability to play off the a top end player, but injuries have kind of slowed him. We know what he can do. We know how dynamic he was at LSU, and and his career over at Arizona. I think that the Tyrann Mathieu signing is probably bigger than what people realize. When you get a dynamic player like him and put him in the locker room, you could see it out on the field today. People kind of gravitated to him, and you saw Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, Kevin Johnson talking to him after every rep and making sure that he knows what's going on. But those types of signing gives your team confidence. Those are the types of signings that when they look at you and say, man, you know, this organization really, really wants to win. And Matthew's one of those guys that bring that type of attitude to the team.
We're asking everybody that we talk to, because we have no idea, how do you sort out this offensive line puzzle? Can you tell us who's going to start on day one against the Patriots? Do you have any idea? Or just give me a guess. Let's say if you were to put some money in Vegas, who would you say the starters would be, left tackle to right tackle?
I'm still under the impression, just like I was last year, Julian Davenport is who they want to be that left tackle. That's why they drafted him. I think that he has the best skill set for that. I think Nick Martin's going to be your center. Kelemete and Fulton will be either left guard, right guard. And I think Centrell Henderson is going to be the first choice at right tackle when it's all said and done. But this is about finding guys. And, you know, they have still young guys behind their offensive line. And you talk about the kid they drafted out of Mississippi State, his name
Martinez Rankin.
They're going to, hope that he ends up being that right tackle when it's all said and done, or one of the tackles. But that's ultimately how it goes. I think that would be my logical bet. I know a lot of people are convinced that Rankin's going to be the left tackle. I still think it's Davenport due to him being in the system. And even last year in his small skill set that he did plenty, for me, in my opinion, to get the first shot at left tackle.
Were you able to look much at Rankin's video or get an idea and everything that you've been doing? Because I know it's been like 24/7 therapy and trying to just getting your body all correct. But have you had a chance to look at him at all?
I haven't had much to do any of that stuff. I always tell myself I'm going to do it, but I really haven't. So, like I said, this is just I don't have any preconceived notion of players. There's so many new faces out there that it kind of helps out just getting a broad baseline of what these guys are looking like. And you can kind of tell from the get-go, from what we saw today, on what this team and what Bill O'Brien is looking for this team in the future, because they have to use all their reps for guys that they know are going to be there at week one, and I think that's the big story.
A forgotten guy in the bunch, and a guy that you were talking to me and Steph Stradley about before we started recording this, was Kevin Johnson, a cornerback. And you know, he's had a rough couple of years. He's gone through a bunch of injuries. That first year, you saw just a little bit of taste of his potential and what he could do, and the speed and the different things that he could do at cornerback with his physicality. What do you expect to see from Kevin Johnson this year? Romeo back as the defensive coordinator. Maybe things go back towards the right direction for him.
Well, I think that when you think about Kevin Johnson, the big thing for me was you saw a progression, but injuries have slowed him down. The year that Kareem got hurt, I think he twisted an ankle. It was mainly Jonathan Joseph, A.J. Bouye, and Kevin Johnson. Bouye and Johnson were getting majority of those reps, and he was looking real good until he re-broke his foot. That's what it was. You got to remember, A.J. Bouye didn't become this Bouye until year four. Players take time to develop. Kevin Johnson has shown, especially in his sophomore season, that he can play. Last year, I think you got to kind of throw out the window and just hope that he can stay in one piece. But the big thing for him is to stay healthy, and he's going to have to change the way he plays, in my opinion. He's on the smaller side. He can't be kamikaze so much on how he tackles out of control. He's got to he's got to know when to go low and ankle bite, kind of like what Jonathan Joseph does. You got to protect yourself. And that's one of Joseph's, in my opinion, what makes him longevity is he's able to stay out of those situations where he can get hurt because there's not much size difference between the two. But I think Kevin Johnson has to change the way he plays in terms of tackling his physicality. I like him being physical, but at times you just got to know when to say when and just wrap the guy up and go down and do all those things. But other than that, I think that this is a big year for him, and we'll see how it shakes out for him.
Let me get your thoughts. Last thing I want to talk to you about is the wide receiver position, because we got DeAndre and Will Fuller. And then there's kind of a rugby scrum after that for who's going to maybe be starting at slot wide receiver, who's going to be in that mix, and who makes the team. And it's an interesting group. You've got Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller and Kiki Cutie. And, you know, you got some guys that are wild cards in the mix, Chris Thompson, Vincent Smith, maybe Jester Wiye, and some of those guys.
I think it comes down to the first three you talked about, Cutie and
Bruce Ellington.
Ellington and Braxton Miller. I think it comes down to those three. And when you start looking at it, I think Cutie was drafted for a reason. He was drafted for a reason. You're not going to – when you have a gluttonous – like you said, we've named you just named so many wide receivers. But the thing that Cutie has on all these guys, maybe besides Bruce Ellington, is that he's lived out of the slot position. That's what he learned. At Texas Tech, they coach inside and outside wide receivers. And that's what Cutie was. He's an inside receiver. So he understands the routes and the offense might not be the same, but he understands releases. He understands coverages because coverages are different from the slot compared to the outside. So Cutie knows how to read coverages from that inside position, and I think that gives him an advantage over guys like Braxton Miller and all those other guys. But I think Ellington, he's got to show he has to stay healthy. 4 years in the NFL, all 4 years he's ended on the injured reserve. Cutie, I think, is probably a wild card. I don't know if there's any fantasy football players, dynasty people, but Cutie to me seems like a guy with where he was drafted, why he was drafted, and the speed he brings. I think that if there's a wild card in all this, who could be getting more snaps by the end of the season, I think it's him.
You are thinking about taking the road show and State of the Texans to West Virginia. You've got a goal set for yourself. Even though you're wheeling it around, you think you can be ready for that in a couple of months?
I told my doctors they got to get me put back together before West Virginia, and I think that's the big thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's so good to be back out here just doing what I enjoy doing and giving information to the readers and listeners and everything else. And I know you continue to do a great job with your podcast, and I think it's just so fun to be back out here and see everybody again.
Thanks for doing this, man. I can't tell you how good it is to see you in one piece. You got both arms. You got both legs. I see it's all put together. You're not Humpty Dumpty anymore, and couldn't be happier for you.
I appreciate it, Robert.
Good to talk to Pat, and we wish him luck on his next surgery, which hopefully is the last one he'll need for a while anyway. Before I hit on a note on some NFL rule changes, just a quick reminder to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at lockedontexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, it's easy to find. Just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there. And if you're a fan of Locked On Texans, you can either email us a question or record a message using the voice memo on your phone, perhaps. Great way to record a message. Email lockedontexans@mail.com and we'll use it on the show. The NFL today approved changes to kickoffs as well as replay review of all NFL player ejections. The kickoff rule changes will be reevaluated after the season. The changes to kickoffs designed to reduce those high-speed collisions everybody's worried about include these five things. Number one, the elimination of running starts for kickoff coverage teams. Number two, a requirement that 8 of the 11 men on the return team must be aligned in the setup zone, and I'm going to say setup zone in quotes, within 15 yards of the ball. Number three, no blocking within the setup zone until after the ball touches the ground. Number four, the elimination of two-man wedge blocks. Number five, the kickoff team must have 5 men lined up on either side of the ball, a move that will limit schemes designed to get free runners in coverage down the field. From the sound of all this, kickoffs are going to look quite a bit different than we've ever seen it before, so prepare yourself for that. And then we got one last story from the last 24 hours, and it's not a good one from the Texans organization. 3 former Houston Texans cheerleaders claimed in a federal lawsuit this week that they were subjected to harassment, including harassment about their weight and ethnic background. by the team's cheerleading director. They also claim the director took no action after they reported to have been, quote, physically assaulted by fans, unquote. If you want to read more details, and they aren't pleasant ones, look for this story in USA Today. And this has been kind of a league-wide problem with the cheerleaders and the NFL, and it's starting to really come to a head with what's going on between those two parties. Time to wrap this show up. Don't forget that Brian's got everything covered in Houston sports on House of Houston, a fanside affiliate. Go check out his and his staff stories on houseofhouston.com. My Houston Sports Talk podcast is easy to find on iTunes and our free app in the Google Play Store for you Android users. That's Houston Sports Talk. Just go look in the Google Play Store. When you're done listening to today's Locked On Texans, take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes, let us know what you think, what you might suggest, and we'll certainly take it all to heart. That's all we've got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.